Hello, welcome to another edition of Creatives Chat. I'm Rusty Hill, one of the co-hosts. Peter Lucas will be joining me here in a couple minutes. Well, not here, but you know.
Then where?
In our chat room.
You mean our Facebook page?
It starts at 3:33 p.m. It gives you time to click the share button and invite your friends to our conversation. Creatives Chat, talking about who knows what.
What?
Starts in a couple of minutes. 3:33.
Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible.
Minutes to go.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's Thursday, thriving on Thursday, which means at 3:33 in a couple minutes from now, Creatives Chat is going live. So, grab a drink, grab a snack, get comfortable, and click the share button and invite your friends to join our conversation. Starts in a couple of minutes, so get ready. Creatives Chat. With Peter Lucas and Rusty Hill. I'm doing this because that's me. I'm Rusty. Hi, how you guys doing? Peter Lucas will be joining me shortly. We're having a live stream with a phenomenal guest. Today we'll have Elijah, also known as All and I, an electronic music producer. You have to tune in a couple minutes from now. Our show starts and we're gonna be having a creative chat.
A what?
We're going to be having a creative chat with creatives. That's why we call Creatives Chat.
What's the topic?
Who knows what we're going to be talking about, but it's going to be creative. So join us a couple minutes from now. It's getting ready. Get started. Invite your friends. See you very soon. Got to get ready for the show.
Welcome. Thank you everyone for joining us this evening. We shall begin our show now. Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by We Are Storically, Conscious Brand Apparel.
Welcome back to another episode of Creatives Chat. Thursdays at 3:33 p.m. It's me, Rusty, with my pal, Peter. So, Peter, tell everyone, who we got lined up on our show today?
It's going to be a good one today, Rusty. Me and this creative actually go way back. His name is Elijah, a.k.a. All and I. He's an electronic music producer. And in the daytime, he's actually an engineer. He's based in the Pacific Northwest and grew up really close to my proximity in Mukilteo, Washington, a small suburb outside of Seattle, and currently he's in Portland spreading his love and light.
Ooh, let's get him on our show.
Hey, welcome, Elijah. How are you doing today, man?
Hey, thank you. Doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So I'm curious, how is quarantine doing for the creative mind that is All and I?
You know, going day by day, it's good. It's, you know, not much has actually changed in my work situation and in my creative flow either. I was actually on quite a long break of putting out tracks recently. So interestingly enough, the quarantine sort of sparked that back up again. And, you know, among keeping work going, I've been starting up production again. So it's been great.
Dude, that's so awesome. And I don't know if any of you have listened to All Night. You guys got to check it out. It's one of those, it's the types of sounds that's not your typical electronic music. It's very soothing. It's meditative. And I think that's one of the most interesting things that really sparks my eye about your music is it takes you to that state of just, you know, you could really just unwind, and it almost takes you to that kind of transcending space where it just gets the, I would say it quiets the mind, but it gets the intuition going. Like you can just really tap into that just vibe, you know, just good vibes, baby.
Yeah, it's quite the compliment. Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it's definitely what I'm going for. So.
That's awesome. Well, I guess I could say really is, what is the inspiration for that? Like, where does that spiritual connection come in your creative process?
Yeah, I'd say it's really intertwined. You know, all of my tracks, I try to wrap around a theme of some sort. And usually, I think what I find is that I'll be thinking about something and really sort of meditating on an idea, and then write a track and make it a central theme and try to like bring the vibe of that feeling or that, you know, that emotion or sound and bring it into that track. Like my first track that I have on my SoundCloud that I released, which is All and I, self-titled, which is actually like the spelling of the name is different, but I came up with the name by thinking, you know, everything is in the self, everything is in consciousness, and that's all in I. And then I just did some wordplay, you know, or letter play, and then came up with that that spelling. And that track is basically me meditating on that idea and trying to write a piece around it, essentially.
I love it, man. I love it because it's so true. It's that concept of, you know, we really do. I see each being as a god of creation, of manifestation. And it's when you tap into that window of awareness that is the self, you can tap into everything, that universe within. So, dude, I didn't even know that about your name. That blows my mind. I love it. Next level. Next level.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool. Well, I guess I would say is it's been a long time since we've actually gotten a chance to really talk. And, you know, we have those Pacific Northwest roots, and now you're in Portland, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, moved to Portland 3 years ago. So
nice. Yeah. Well, what brought you down there, and like, how did you get from the Northwest to Portland?
Yeah. So after I graduated engineering school, I actually spent some time living at a temple, and that temple I had been studying at pretty much every break I got from school. So any, you know, winter break or spring break, stretches of weeks during the summer break, I would go and stay at this temple. And after I graduated, I moved there basically thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to live here. And I want to like essentially just live at the temple, study the ideals, and, you know, basically monketize myself. And after about like, you know, 4 or 5 months of that, it was a gradual process, but I lived there for 4 or 5 months, moved back with my parents after that in Mukilteo. Mm-hmm. And then after that, one of my good friends hit me up, and he was going to a festival, a music festival, and I'd never been to one. And it was a pretty jarring experience coming out of a temple, going to a music festival. And, you know, all the things that you see at a music festival. And, but I met some great people, you know, and I really, it inspired me musically. And I knew, and the reason why I left the temple was because I wanted to pursue music. And it just hit that musical inspiration spark in me. And, you know, I came back to Mukilteo, and then I found that I missed the people, and I missed Portland, and I would come to visit, and then I would go back, and I would feel like I just wanted to stay. So I was like, oh, like I probably just want to live there. So then I just, you know, it just took a matter of time to find the right time and space. But then that's why I moved down. It was the people, yeah. The music scene, and just following that inspiration.
Dude, that's so cool. Well, I think one of the things that a lot of people don't recognize is that temple life is very different than any other real experience that you're going to get, because the focuses aren't really material. And I guess what I'm curious is, what was like a typical day at a temple? Because you were there for years, so that's like pretty intense.
Yeah. I mean, living there straight through, like 4 to 5 months, but I was studying there a lot. But that's a great question. Because, I think, you know, one of the most common misconceptions I get and I feel in talking to people is that temple is a peaceful place, which it is at times, but a lot of the times it's not. You know, you're tossed into the fire of like your own thoughts, and you know, you're trying to better yourself around these people who are also trying to better themselves, and you're sort of tossed up in this mixing pot of emotions and ego and thoughts, like being destroyed, and it's crazy at times. But you know, the day-to-day was very structured. You know, every day we would do some sort of morning meditation, and you know, sometimes that involved singing depending on what we were doing at that time of year. Sometimes that involved yoga, so like hatha yoga or physical yoga that most people are probably familiar with. Then we would go into our own personal practice, so we do it with the group in the morning a little bit, and then we would go do our own personal practice, which would be, you know, anything from chanting a scripture to performing a puja, which is a form of like worship, you know, where you might see someone lighting candles, making incense offerings, or, you know, usually you see like food being offered. And then that's the morning, you know, usually takes like anywhere from 2 to 3 hours, depending on what you're doing. Then just, you know, eating breakfast. Then you know, usually there's a lot of work to do. So basically, you know, this temple, and I guess I won't say where it was or what the place was, but it was in a remote location in California, the hills of California. So,
oh wow,
there was a lot of like, you know, groundskeeping. You know, we're not really calling out handymen out there unless like something really, you know, problematic happened. So we handled a lot of the fixing of stuff, and you know, if the road needed to be repaired, we would, you know, grab a shovel after meditation and start shoveling dirt.
So you're the engineer on site, huh?
yeah. And you know, you do a lot of it was work, and but meditation and focus and like, you know, focusing of with devotion was basically breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So it was very like, I would say it's a very structured around meditating multiple times a day while also engaging in service.
True bhakti and karmic yoga, right? Just really being fully devotion of this now, this moment, this presence that is everything. That's really interesting, man. Well, I guess one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is, how do you find that you took kind of like the temple away from the temple? Because I always like to see that, you know, we are, you know, we all have that temple within us. So how do you take that personal practice and all the things you learned and really incorporate that into this, you know, you touched in a little bit on the creative process, but how does that really just impact your life?
Yeah, I would definitely say I'm not the best at it. Well, you know, you try to remind yourself, and I think it's a lot of what spirituality inevitably is just reminding yourself. But it's funny what you said reminds me of something one of my gurus said, which was, I asked him one time, we were leaving the gates, and, you know, I asked him, like, man, like I get really sad, and I've talked to other people who get really sad, too, when they leave the temple and they have to fly away. Like, how do you handle just, like, leaving the temple and, like, going into the world? He's like, what? Leave the temple. I never leave the temple. So you think that place is the temple? Man. and the lesson that was like, just comes back in a circle in various points of my life, you know, and it's coming back now. But as for like how I try to do that, and especially with music, I think music was the most natural way I found personally to find that state of me not thinking about myself and simultaneously working towards something that ideally provides value for others. But it's also in the moment, I'm working to create something that's outside of myself, but also brings myself into a sort of flow state. You know, sometimes you get the tingles on your neck or something that you're like, you know, the music is just coursing through you. And I never had to think about it as much as I did with, you know, even meditation. I found myself in those states, but it wasn't as natural for me, and, you know, still doesn't remain. It's not to this day for me, but that the practice of meditation and yoga of various forms aids a person to focus. And in the creative's mindset, you know, that is so important to just block out all external like inputs, at least at the time of creating, for me, you know, and just focus on what's being created and how to better that creation, and just really just getting yourself out of the way, you know, getting the ego to not disappear if that's possible, but, you know, just fade away and sort of, you know, get your own mind out of your own way so you can let this creation flow through you.
Heck yeah. And I think that's like, it touches on the point that I kind of like to express it as, everything in this life is about affection and what we give our love to. And I found that the more I got into like more this quote unquote spiritual or intangible side of life and meditation, whatever form it was, I found that I was able to tap into that flow for really like whatever I really poured myself into. And then I think it's that devotion to, you know, what you love that really enables us to kind of melt away all those inner tensions and all like the mind clutter and emotional clutter to really just boom, dive right deep into the flow. So do you find that like the temple helped you get really like, do you find that the temple helped you learn the spiritual things that you needed to really just liberate yourself, to really just enhance your musical production skills? Cause I mean, some of the tracks, man, if you like listen to them, it's like, there's so much going on, but it all blends and it's really actually wild that you said that. It just popped in my head that you were saying that you guys did a lot of chanting at the temple, and that's almost the effect that you get with everything that's going on. Like, it's like a course of just, it's a symphony of just different sounds. So no, man, like, I'm loving it. So you guys seriously check out this music and meditate to this. It's one of those things that's going to blow your mind. Like,
yeah. So I'm going to hop in here.
Yeah. What's up, Rusty?
Let's play some music real quick and listen, give it a quick listen.
Yeah,
definitely. The tracks are all good in their own light. I think that's one of the beautiful things about it. It's like, it's very much so kind of like the experience of life, you know, and all, each moment has its own beauty. So each one's so unique and different. That's the kind of awesomeness about the creative flow, is it feels like you're just tapping into that same epicness that is life, but it transitions depending on that vibe that you're trying to put into it. So like, that's what I was telling you, man. Like, I was literally just like lying on the floor, head on the meditation pillow, just like doing my own little meditation while this was all going down, just listening to the tracks. It was cool.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. And yeah, something you said about, you had mentioned like melting away. And that's, I think that better describes the feeling of like, you know, the creation process and how the spirituality sort of drifted, or not drifted, but the spirituality guided my creation process, which is like, once I started finding that feeling of like, oh, like I'm sort of melting with it. Like, then that, I sort of was going after that, you know, because that, like, I love that feeling, and like capture that in some sort of, you know, sound or amalgamation of sounds is Like, that's just great.
Because yeah, it's just that release and that tension. And I think that's the kind of state that a lot of the music you have puts you in. It's just that kind of just effortless just being. And I think that's something that really changed. Obviously, it changed my perspective on electronic music because, you know, I grew up listening to like Tiesto, you know, like bump and techno. Yeah. It's like, and a lot of the electronic music now is, again, it's like a lot of that trap, that dubstep kind of like, you know, epic bass. But like, this is just that orchestra just sound, you know? And I think that's something that, like, I'm super impressed though. Like, you made all those artworks for the each track.
Yeah. Yeah. So, And all the artwork on my page too. I mean, one of them I think should be is it's just like a picture of the stars. But I mean, that's sort of the theme initially that I started with was like outer space and cosmic, you know, artwork, and that also plays a role in the music at times. And I haven't actually gotten into video visuals yet, but I have some ideas for how the music goes with, you know, sort of cosmic and, you know, we're all the same type of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I created the artwork. I'll find a picture that I like, or, you know, some artwork that a visual artist has done, and mm-hmm. collaborate with them in making artwork.
That's
a
cool.
lot of them though is really just me, you know, I'll see a photo or a picture and then I'll ask for permission to use it and you know, giving credit, of course, if they want it. And then I'll, like, for some of them, I just zoomed in to a spot of color that I really liked.
Mm.
And just sort of altered those with effects and, you know, and stuff like that. So,
dude, I love it. Learn something new. And I think that just goes to the expression of just like how much you can tap into that creative flow. And this is kind of like a little like curveball in there. I find that because you're an engineer. But one of the things that you do that we talked about earlier in the green room is you're actually creating material for engineers. You're teaching engineers. And I find something that's even more kind of impressive about really any professional who teaches is the fact that it's like you have to be able to boil things down to their essence, refine things down, and really fully assimilate it into your understanding before you can teach it to someone else. And again, that just kind of goes to the creative aspect that is all and I. So I'm curious, do you find, again, like, do you ever get in that flow state when you're kind of like creating content for engineers, like learning material?
I would say it's very, very infrequent compared to me making. But
you know, more of the logical mind going.
Yeah, because as you said, you know, you have to learn the content before you teach it. So in the job that I perform, there's so much, here's a process, teach it. And then you look at it and you're like, I don't know how to do this. And then you have to figure it out. And then while simultaneously, usually while you're figuring it out, you're being asked, well, we need this solution to teach people with. So you're like, you're moving so fast and so up here that it's usually not in that same state.
That's a good contrast though, to have that kind of more of the, you know, you're diving into like the personal, logical, I guess you could almost say like egoic, even though I don't really care about that term, you know, you're just focusing on the mind. And then from here you switch entirely into the more spiritual. I think that's an amazing balance and skill to have. So, I mean, it just gives you credit for it, man. Cause I'll let the viewers in on some life wisdom. This is probably one of the leading takeaways that I've had actually from my entire education, like K through college. And it was from my physics teacher in high school, Dr. Reinleitner, shout out. You weren't very friendly, but you know, you dropped some truth bombs out there. And the one thing that he said that always stuck with me, and I think it's really impacted like my spiritual search, my teaching, is you don't truly understand something unless you can teach it to a child. And that like blew my mind, because he was talking about he taught his kids that were like in second grade and first grade, like trig, you know. So I was like, how did you, I always had this question, I was like, how did you do that, man? He was just like, well, you know, Mr. Lucas, you know, he had a very interesting voice. And then he dropped that line, and for some reason that's just something that's like really echoed through my heart, like through this entire life. So it's interesting that you have that ability to really again, like people don't give teaching as much credit as it deserves because it does take that other level of introspection to analyze something objectively and be like, okay, well, how would someone else get it? Because so many people, I feel like, focus on themselves, this world.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about, you know, someone who's really good at something they do and they try to teach it is they usually figure out that they're, unless they've taught before, that they're not always the best at teaching because they just know the subject. And it's just like, well, like you have to break it down into, like, you know, like you said, break it down into the simplest elements to present to someone to build up. And yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of my science teachers in school, they were some of them were very bright, but just terrible at teaching. And not to their fault, you know, they were learning how to teach. But you realize, you know, when you're talking to them one-on-one, it's like, oh, like they know so much, but they don't know how to relay it to someone. Yeah. And, you know, that's super key for teaching, you know, is to understand the basic level where someone might be coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's awesome that you learned that from, you know, that your science teacher in high school, like, gave that lesson to you and it's carried with you that whole way. You know?
It was such a quick comment, but that's, I think, the most powerful stuff in life, right? It's the subtleties that really bring us and drive us home to those deeper truths. So, I mean, like, I think that's one of the things, though, is do you feel like that temple mentality, do you feel like what you gain spiritually from that experience has impacted, I mean, obviously impacted how you see the world, but do you think it's impacted the way you operate?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I would say, and again, like, I'm not the best at keeping up meditation all day or, you know, like incorporating all philosophies and practices into my life. But as a person, it's totally changed everything about me. And, you know, the person that I am today is so much influenced by what I experienced there, what I learned there. So it definitely carries with me today, even though I moved away and I'm not even in contact with those teachers much anymore, but I think about them a lot and what they've told me and taught me. And so it's very much part of who I am. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And I guess that's the thing where it's, you know, we're always kind of connected to the people that have given us those imprints, that have given us those opportunities to really pivot our life, you know? So that's something that I always just feel that oneness, you know, we're all connected all the time, whether we recognize it or not. Right.
Totally. Yeah.
And speaking of being connected,
Hey,
let's take a quick moment, pause for the cause and thank our sponsors for making our show possible. We'd like to thank We Are Historically and our latest sponsor, Loyalty Gutters, keeping us dry in the Northwest. Check them out. Show them some love because we wouldn't be here without them. Thanks again, sponsors, and back to our show.
Well, I guess one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is, like, in terms of your transition leaving the temple, how did that decision come about?
Yeah, that was a tough one. Mainly because up until that point, I was of the mind that I was going to be living there and that my whole life would be spent, maybe not in that temple, but at a temple of some sort.
Or the monk life.
Yeah, a monk life, essentially. And, you know, I graduated college. I finally, for years, I was waiting for that moment where I would be able to live there and just focus completely on that as much as I could. And then I got there and, you know, I started to just live in it. And this desire of music, which was already there before, you know, I was creating music on a guitar before, just acoustic.
Yeah.
But then I just got this feeling that, like, if I didn't try to make this a thing and see where it took me, that I would eventually regret it, you know? And, you know, I could go down the monk road, but at some point I would feel like, well, what would have ever happened if I had just, like, tried to make music and, you know, And my feeling at the temple was I can't do it the way I want to do it when I'm living, you know. So I decided to leave. And it was a long process of an internal struggle of, you know, essentially a killing of an identity that I had sort of aligned myself with, which ironically enough is another form of ego. And you know, it's like it, but it's like, oh, it's spiritual, so it's like different. But it's just like I had identified with me going down this path, and to suddenly realize that I knew by a feeling that I had to leave and do this other thing, you know, that was a long process of accepting that in myself. And that was tough. But the toughest part after that was just telling other people and people in the community, and then like having to set it in motion, and then, you know, just sort of essentially just breaking away from that life. And but man, was it worth it. The creation and freedom that I have now essentially is, yeah, it's just, I love it.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of like the cool thing about life and the timing of things, is that they arise when we're ready, you know, and it arises when it needs to. And the beautiful thing about, I think what you said about that was the acceptance of really addressing the internal conflict of it and looking at that and being able to identify first that it was more of like egoic influence, spiritual thought of identity, and to really listen to the heart. I think that's something that a lot of people don't often do, because they allow the conditioned mind, they allow those lessons, those social pressures to really keep them attached to and attracted to all these things that aren't them. And I think especially when you're in a spiritual realm like that, I think it's almost like that. Do you feel like it was almost like looks of judgment, like, oh, you're leaving? Or was it more like open and acceptance, like oh, okay.
I think there were, you know, by case by case, there it was variations of both. Yeah. You know?
Interesting.
So I definitely felt people where they were accepting and, you know, sort of send me on my way with giving me their best. And then there were other interactions where it was just like, oh, that did not go the way I thought it would. You know, like but along that same thought, a lot of it was internal pressure, you know, and sort of like you said, a lot of people have trouble following the feeling and the internal feeling that arises that they might want to do something or change their path.
Yeah.
And that's tough, because a lot goes into creating that identity of I'm doing this thing, this is who I am. And if you're changing that, it's sort of like trying to change like the momentum of a ball rolling down a hill to the new destination, you know?
Yeah. Like
there's weight behind that. There's like gravity behind it. Mm. And it's I don't know, that, 'cause that was like the toughest part, you know, it was just changing the momentum and thought train of my own self.
Yeah. I mean, that is, I guess you could almost say the double-edged sword of dedication, right? Where it's like you invest your so much of your being into this one thing, and then you're like, oh, rug's getting pulled out. Have fun. Yeah. Oh, the floor is cold on my feet. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting, though. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me just the beauty that is these opportunities and such like that. Because it sounds like, honestly, it just drastically changed your world. And I mean, I'm sure in those types of situations, some type of healing went on.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I would say like it opened me up in general as a person. And like, I can't say how I was before that. I can't really remember or, you know, say how other people experienced like interactions with me, but I can tell that after that experience I had at the temple, my ability in general just to open up to love, both accepting and giving, is greatly increased So, and just like sort of opening up this door to introspection and focus through meditation, like those are great tools, you know. And I don't think I would have gotten them as well or as integrated into my day-to-day thoughts without that experience.
Well, I mean, that's the coolest thing is that it does sound like you kind of listened to your guru and took that temple away from the temple. And regardless of a sit-down practice, you know, I don't think meditation is something that really is just confined to a simple moment when you're sitting on the ground with the eyes closed. It's really that presence that you carry with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd say that's probably the goal if anything.
Right.
Is to, like, you know, you almost like do the meditation, the sitting meditation, like you're sitting there trying to focus and not let these thoughts in, almost so that when you get up and start going into the world, that just that mindset or that feeling and that zone just goes with you wherever you are. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. I just wanted to pause real quick. Rusty, you want to hop in? I saw you pop up. That was my bad.
Yeah. Hello, guys.
Hey.
I'm enjoying your conversation, and I had a question for Elijah, all and I. Do you have a spirit animal, and if so, what is it?
Ooh, I like it.
I would, yeah, I definitely do. It's a bear. Oh. And I only realized this actually recently, and because, you know, actually just randomly people had started asking me, and I have loved bears for some odd reason out of nowhere since a child. And then, you know, people started asking me, and I just, like, the first one that pops into my head is a bear. And yeah, I would say it's a bear. I don't know much about spirit animals other than, you know, people have them though. So I guess I just chose mine.
My spirit animal is a worm.
What's yours then, Peter?
I actually have always had a really deep connection with orcas. Being off, you know, Pacific Northwest boy, I actually have a birthmark on my ankle. And although it's kind of grown a little bit, it's the shape of a whale. So it's one of those things where I was just like, and I loved Free Willy as a kid. And I think that's one of the reasons why I loved it, because I was like, orca! But yeah. But I thought it's funny, man. Like, you ended up in the one state that has their animal as a bear for the temple. Mm-hmm.
California. Yeah, in California.
Proof of the pudding, huh?
I didn't even think of that, but that's a good correlation then.
Well, that's funny, man. That's even better then, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you on our show. We got to have you back in the future.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you, Rusty. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time. Do you have any closing thoughts? Anything you'd like to, any final thoughts you'd like to share with our viewers?
I guess, you know, during this time, I would just say, especially if you're creative or even if you're not, just try not to totally overpressure yourself. And if you're working through the stress of this time, you know, I just so happened to come across some inspiration and it's fueled me. But I know people are going through so much stress that if you're creating something and it's giving you a therapeutic value, maybe use that. But I would say try not to pressure yourself to where, you know, handling other situations in this world becomes more stressful. So try to find some therapy in it. And just let it be that for now, maybe.
Sage advice. Thank you so much, Elijah. Love and peace. Thank you so much. Everyone, again, it's been a quick and fast episode. It's amazing how much ground we covered, but every minute of this is gold. Check out our other episodes on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. Until next Thursday at 3:33, have a happy always.
And that concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what.
Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible.